All right, well, good morning. We'll call you the Frozen 40 today. I did see that, of course, as expected, viewership is up a little bit on social media platforms, YouTube, and so on and so forth. So thank you for those who are tuning in. And that's a good use of technology, so we appreciate that. One thing before we take our little break, that men's conference that our elder Jim referenced during the announcements, that's at Hope Christian Fellowship, which is on Lake Avenue. I've been to it, I think, 3 consecutive years. It's a good conference. There's multiple churches that are involved at that. For those of you that know Pastor Alfonso Galvano, he's been here before a couple times. Once on a Sunday morning, he filled in for me. That's the church in which he pastors. It's at 9 a.m. QR code is here to sign up. It is $25. That's not my doing. But that includes the breakfast, of course. So I think it'll be a good time for men to get together and build one another up and learn and so on and so forth. The theme is let a man examine himself. These are on the outside table if you have any interest in that. Other than that, we'll get into the sermon after we take our few minutes. So today, we're on good time, although I don't know if you realize this, the Alancey's snowmobile service will be available. No, we're good. This is nothing for Rochester. This is nothing, okay? But thank you for coming out today. So let's take our few minute break, and then we'll get into the sermon. Okay. Oh, we're on. Good. I was going to say, we've got plenty of time. We're doing very well on time. And we might finish a little bit early just to compensate for the weather that we know inevitably is going to get worse, at least if the forecast is somewhat accurate. But we'll start Ephesians chapter 2 today. And just had this thought yesterday, you know, contemplating, we were talking about the forecast this weekend. Friday, Barry was here, Tom, myself, and sending a text to the elders about it, so on and so forth. But yesterday, as I was driving around, I just kept on thinking, just kept having this thought, every obstacle creates an opportunity. You know, the last year, when many of the churches closed down, and we did not, I was actually not even here. I was speaking at another church. It was Minister Randy who was here. Actually, he'll be here next week. I'll let the cat out of the bag. I won't be here. But it's been 4 straight months, okay? So I'm ministering someplace else. Love being here, love pastoring this church, but I'll be at another church next week, Minister Randy filling in for me. But it was, that's how the Miller family found SBC, and they've been here ever since. So every obstacle, which some would deem the snow and the weather, creates an opportunity. So keep that in mind. Maybe that encourages you or speaks to you a little bit today. This morning, as we look into the method in Ephesians 2 of Gentile, that's non-Jewish salvation, those that are not born of Jewish origin, we look at it and we know that the gospel is for all. The Ephesians are part of those Gentiles, the Gentile people, like most of us or all of us in here today, that are termed the wild branches in Romans chapter 11. And we have been grafted into the redemptive plan of Christ. John chapter 1 says that Jesus came unto his own, that's the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. They received him not. Therefore, the light of the gospel was brought to the Gentile, the non-Jew, the world. We were once dead in trespasses and sins until God quickened us, as we'll hear about, which means gave us life. We thank God for his grace, his mercy, and his love, which we'll learn more about today. And you saw that the sermon title was War and Peace. So verses 1 through 3 have to do with the war. Verses 4 through 9, specifically 4 through 7, peace. And then we'll finish with God's workmanship in verse 10. Father, as we take this moment in time to break the bread of your holy word, I'm going to ask for your help to do so in a way that ministers to each individual. You know what they need. They've made a sacrifice to come out here today and gather physically, and there's others that are joining via technology, by way of YouTube and Facebook. You know what they need, whether they're hundreds of miles away or they're sitting in this auditorium. We're just appreciative. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You said that you would lead people into all truth, your people. And so I ask that that would be the case today. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we ask this. And God's family said, amen. Ephesians chapter 2 reads this way, the Apostle Paul. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Talking to the Ephesians, Ephesus, part of Asia Minor at the time, of course, we know God is the giver of life. You've heard this phrase before. Maybe you've heard this phrase. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. I'll say it again. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And of course, if you've heard that phrase before, what the person or people are referring to is the born-again experience, being born from above, as some translations say, or born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, the Pharisee, in the Gospel of John chapter 3, you must be born again. We sin by nature and by choice. Henceforth, you know we need a rescuer, a savior, and Jesus Christ is indeed both. Trespasses are lapses, sins are shortcomings, and we are dead by virtue of both. Yet Christ has quickened us, and I really like that word, has given us life. Pay attention to the next two verses that are part of the war, because you are born into sin, as just mentioned. Therefore, you are at war with God. Verse 2, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. How did you walk before the new birth? How did you walk before your second birth, if you are indeed born from above or saved? What is the old man, the old nature? Well, three things were listed. You walked according to the world. You lived as an unregenerate, lost person. According to who? The prince of the power of the air. Who is that? Satan. And isn't it interesting that in the social media age, as I've termed it before, to me, at times, it can just be a weapon of mass confusion, even with this forecast. One thing we knew was snow was going to come. But how much? 8 inches, 18 inches, 6 inches? It's going to start Friday. It's going to start. And we can get so caught up in what's going on. Of course, unless you're hiding under a rock, you probably have an idea of what's been going on in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and there's all these different angles. And it's all happening through the air waves, so to speak. And Satan is referred to as the prince, not of peace, not the prince of peace, but the prince of the power of the air. And then thirdly, Paul says the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. See, a misnomer is someone, and perhaps even you may have said this, we're not all the children of God. Maybe you've heard somebody say, oh, we're all the children of God. We are not all the children of God. We're all made in the image of God. We are all created by God. We're His image bearer, but until we surrender to God, we are at war with God. You just heard the three things mentioned in verse 2 by the apostle via the Holy Spirit. Walking according to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit is not the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. War. Easy acronym. We are right. Your sin, your trespasses against God have you in a state of spiritual death. Why? John chapter 3 says, because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Simply put, because their deeds are evil, men love darkness rather than light. A child of God will be made complete by their heavenly Father. A child of God desires the things of God. They have the mind of Christ. They have the Spirit of God. Now listen to verse 3 as we continue in that last war passage. Among whom also we had all our conversation, or that means conduct in King James Version, among whom also we had all our conduct in times past in how? The lust of our flesh, fulfilling what desires? Of the flesh and of the mind. And here it is. And were by nature the children of wrath. By nature, the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesians, by nature, the wrath of God abides on you. Why? Because in that time and in that culture, and religiously speaking, one of the main deities was the goddess Diana, who was made of hands, a silversmith. In Acts 19, it says, Demetrius, a silversmith who made shrines to Diana, the goddess, that not only Asia and the rest of the world did what? They worshipped. How did they worship? Ignorantly. Ignorantly. And now the Apostle Paul is bringing the good news of Jesus Christ, this new covenant that simply comes by believing, by faith in the risen Christ. By nature, the Word of God says, all like sheep, we've gone astray. If you've been with us during the teaching of Romans that took quite some time to go through, all like sheep have gone astray. There's none good, Jesus said. There's none good, no, not one. Understanding that, especially in this church age, and this church culture, where if you walk into a Christian ministry or you walk into a church building and they're immediately telling you how good you are, they're making a grave eternal error. Now, I'm not going to go up to you and tell you how bad you are, okay? Other than when I'm up here. If the scriptures say it, the scriptures say in your natural state, you are a child of wrath. Listen to John, because people love John 3:16. So do I, by the way. I have it on my business shirt, my CPR training. Love John 3:16, but people forget about the next couple verses that talk about he that has the Son has life, he that does not have the Son does not have life, and the wrath, that's the anger, the displeasure of God, abides on them. And so John 3:16 is wonderful and beautiful and assuring, but you got to get past John 3:16. You got to get all the way to John 3:36, 20 verses later, to see what the natural state of your loved ones are. What is the natural state of your coworkers, those around you? You shouldn't be wondering why they are. By nature, they are children of wrath. They're not children of God. So when you hear somebody saying that, it is completely in contrast to what the Word of God teaches. And for the Ephesians of the time, it completely goes against them. Why? Because their gods were made with man's hands and partially to profit. Demetrius was a silversmith, and it was going to hurt his trade. It was going to hurt his wealth, his income, along with the others that were literally making their god. What type of god is that you make? Although we do that today in a different way, those gods have no power. Paul said, we worship a God that's not made with hands. The earth is his footstool. Now, there's a transition, and it's a really good transition, because that was the war. That passage was really Paul speaking to those, and he's speaking to us in Ephesians, saying, here's your natural state, wrath, disobedience, prince of the power there. But now let's look. I love this, what's this little conjunction, this hitch word, but God, which can be so powerful, but God, who is rich in mercy, not giving us what we deserve, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his, not just love, his great love, wherewith he loved us. That's the child of God right there. Those that are born again, those who have repented, those that have turned from their wicked ways. Is that, how do you know if somebody's really a child of God? Watch them. Listen to them. Spend time with them. Because a good tree can only produce good fruit. You know, I was talking with someone recently about this. Well, you know, is this person saved? Is this person not saved? Well, here's a really biblical way of at least having an idea. Use the book of Galatians. Because the fruit of God's Spirit, not the spirit of the prince of power here, is this. They have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. They have at least some of those fruits in some capacity. So if you look at a person and you say, yeah, they're a Christian. Yes, they're saved. Yes, they're a child of God. And by the way, there's no love, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no self-control. There's none of those things. You are calling a bad tree good. And as I've said in the past, there's a reason. There's a very intentional reason that the greatest teacher, that the rabbi of the day, and still the greatest teacher today, Jesus Christ, always uses horticulture terms. Because you cannot plant a seed and expect to see a tree the next day. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, it says, bearing fruit, that religious, that fruit that comes from the Spirit of God, how can we bear it? With patience. You grow in love. You grow in patience. You grow in the peace of God. How do you grow? As you walk with Him. As you learn of Him. As you take up His yoke. If you're not doing that, that's why you and I are not going to bear any fruit. But God, who's rich in mercy, great love, where he loved us, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, here's the next conjunction, kind of like a hitch. Even when we were dead in sins, natural state. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, there it is the second time, has given us life, together with who? Christ. By grace, you are saved. Verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together. Where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is your eternal inheritance. That is your position that no one can take from you. You are seated in heavenly places. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's an amazing promise, and that's an amazing truth. And I know we can lose sight of it here on planet Earth, but the best is yet to come. And the Apostle Paul is reminding the Ephesians, he's explaining to them, this is who you were, And this is who you are. But God, even when. But God, even when. Salvation is of the Lord. And he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and like I said, this is more a circular letter. If you were here from the introduction week when we got into it, this letter is really intended to for the universal church more than anything else, but he's reminding them as he's writing in prison, saying, hey, you were dead, now you're alive. Here's how it happened. Trespasses and sins, but God, even when, quickened you. That's how it happens. Salvation is of the Lord. It's inexplainable, and everybody has their own testimony. Now, it may not be what you think is a real powerful testimony, but you certainly have a testimony. And sometimes it is a slow burn, as someone said. Sometimes every testimony is different. I promise you, my testimony is different than yours. But it's yours, and no one can take it from you. You've experienced it. It's tangible. You've walked in it. No one can tell you it's not real. And same thing for these Ephesians who have been converted by the power of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding, here's these rich words, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Rich in mercy, great love, even when we were dead. This should give us hope for the worst of sinners, by the way. Exceeding riches of his grace, kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture. That's somebody who has peace with God. What price tag can you put on peace? You can't. It's priceless. No amount of money, no fame, no fortune, no reputation can purchase peace that's given by God. He said there's a peace out there, but it's I give you a different peace than the world. You know, regardless of circumstance, I am with you. I will not leave you. I'll be with you even to the end of the age. Jesus promised those that he walked with on the earth before he ascended. And that's a great promise for you and for I if you know Christ. And if you know not Christ and you have not the peace of God, well, I pray you do, that you would turn. He's not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. Here come the memory verses. If you were a younger child and went to Sunday school, I think many of us know this, and we use this as a memory verse or evangelism verse. For by grace, verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved. From what? The wrath of God. Through faith, Hebrews 11:1. Describes faith, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of what you cannot see, and not of yourselves. Therefore, you cannot earn it, work for it, be good enough for it. Why? It's a gift. It's given freely by God. Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast or brag or take some credit for it. You want to know if an individual is truly saved? They don't take any credit for their salvation. They acknowledge God saved them. They were at war with God, and he quickened them. He gave them life. He gave them wisdom and revelation of who he is, like the Apostle Paul wrote of in chapter 1. They became enlightened. Think about this. It happens all throughout the scriptures. He opened Lydia's heart, and she believed in the book of Acts. He healed the leper, and he believed. He forgave the prostitute. And she believed. He touched the eyes of the blind man. In one instance, he touched him twice to see clearly, and he believed. He told the devil to flee, and the naked and crazed man was dressed and in his right mind at the island of the Gadarenes. God did it. Jesus, God incarnate, Son of God, he did it. God still does it today, this way he saved you and the way he saved me from his wrath. Not by nature, not by nature. And that's one of the greatest, gravest errors some of the church is making today. And telling people they're just okay, just be good, just try hard enough. It's okay, Jesus loves you. But yet there's no talk about your natural state, your unregenerate, your lost state. dead in trespasses and sins, and you need an awakening. You need God to literally quicken your spirit, your inner man. Just like Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, we believe, did, because at the end, when Jesus was in the tomb, he went to him. There's a fruit. He went to get the body with Joseph of Arimathea. There's some, at least, evidence that this man was starting to get it, that his eyes were opened. I'll tell you another way to see if somebody really knows Christ that the scriptures speak of, that Paul speaks of. Their works. Now, don't misunderstand. You just heard what the scriptures say. It's not of works. Salvation is not of works. But works are the fruit of salvation. Good works are the fruit of salvation. So let's look at the last verse. For we are his workmanship. You know what that means? Work of art. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. That's the fruit of salvation, good works. Don't confuse it. You can be good for goodness sake, but that profits you nothing. When you are a new creature in Christ, when you are born from above, when you are saved from the wrath of God, you are good for God's sake. Because of the mercy of God, because of the exceeding riches of God, because of the grace of God. That's why. Good people go to hell. Good people go to hell. People who know they are a child of God only because of the grace and goodness of God go to heaven. It's really black and white. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Their deeds are evil. That they would be exposed. That's why they hide. You ever wonder why people leave when you come around? It's not the way you smell. It's not the way you look. It's because you bring the light of Christ. There's a separation. I pray you know what I'm talking about. They can't even be around the light. Why? Their conscience, their conviction, the weight of their sin falls upon them. That's why the scriptures say, what fellowship does darkness have with light? None. What fellowship does God have with Belial, Satan? None. He's the prince of the power of the air. Jesus is the prince of peace. One is at war with God. One gives you the peace of God. It's black and white. Listen to this. Jesus told the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, that they were of their father, the devil. Jesus did that. The same Jesus, right, which we like to say, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus told the Pharisees they were of their father, the devil. How would that be received in today's church climate? John 8, this is Jesus. You do the deeds of your father. Speaking to the Pharisees, the religious hypocrites of the day. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. There it is, works. Sin. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Because I tell you the truth. Remember when the Apostle Paul said, am I your enemy? Have I become your enemy now because I tell you the truth? And it's something to consider as we move in our everyday rhythms of life and the circles that we're around. To be prayerful and to be careful what we say to those that are children of wrath, those that are regenerate, they're lost. And again, I'm not telling you to go up and tell people that they're children of wrath. I'm not telling you to go up and say, hey, do you know you're of your father, the devil? It might be probably not the best way to approach him. I don't know that the Holy Spirit would lead you that way. But you know what I've learned in my years? I've learned this. At times, there are people out there, they need to be plucked from the fire.
They need to hear this. You know, I won't use my own personal testimony. It was a youth pastor years ago. And he was talking to the youth, he was talking to the pastor's son. And he said, you know, I know you're the pastor's son, but I got to tell you this. You're on your way to hell. And that youth, that pastor's son, who then was saved, still remembered that 30 years later. Why? Because he told him the truth. Don't abide in a lie like Satan. Abide in the truth. Don't be afraid to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth to people that need to hear it. It's a hard word. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Just like Judas going up to Jesus when he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, pecking him on the cheek. And Jesus says, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Don't betray people by not being truthful with them in a loving, gentle way. Because eternity is on the line. Just like for these Ephesians. They're ignorant. Paul says, I'd give up my own salvation for the Jewish people, my people. They have a zeal, it's a knowledge, but it's not right, it's off. It's misled. You could be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. I told you last week, we had an opportunity, my wife and I, to speak to a couple really nice young Mormon girls. And I think we were loving, but we were also truthful in telling them that that is not the book, and that is not the right God. And I pray God uses it. And I pray God continues to use you throughout the days and the weeks to come. See, we're his workmanship, though. That beautiful? You probably don't think of yourself that way all the time. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Well, now it's Alice and Alma. We have the skeleton crew today. But it's a powerful worship team. God has a glory in numbers. But you may not think of yourself that way as a work of art created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Fearfully and wonderfully made, I will praise you, the Psalms say. And some of you this morning, you might think you're trash, to use modern vernacular. You think you're worthless. Even though you sit here week after week, you might think you are not worthy, you are worthless, you are a wreck, not a masterpiece. And God's word says differently to those that are the children of God. He says, you're a masterpiece. I created you in my image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is who he's speaking to, the church, those he's purchased with his blood. Not those that are making their own gods out of hands. Not those that are at war with God. Those that have the peace of God that he wants to give more peace to and love to. He says, you're a masterpiece. You think you got nothing to offer. Nothing to give to God. Not true. The devil is a liar. You just heard it. Jesus called the Pharisees. Father, said, your father's the devil. Not your father in heaven. God has a plan for your life. Yes, I'm going to say that now. God has a plan for your life, but not in the way that Creflo Dollar tells you that. Not in a way that a false prophet will tell you. God has a plan for your life in the eyes of the Father. You are his child. You are his son, his daughter, created and ordained to walk in good works. We just read it. And it has really blessed me to be a part of the work here with the artwork. That's you. The masterpieces of God. God is a great artist. Maybe you are down today, at the very least because of the weather. But God can lift you up. Maybe, even though I recognize all the faces in here, I know not the soul necessarily. Maybe you are lost. You need direction. Well, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You are a child of the Prince of Peace. You are the work of God that he quickened, that he rescued, that he saved, that he ordained that you walk in good works. So I'm going to end with this. Be at peace. And to echo the words of Christ as he looked at the storm and simply said, peace, be still. Peace be still, whatever it is, whatever the storm is in your life, whatever the trial is in your life, God is there. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He doesn't abandon you. You may feel that way, but Jesus never said that he was the way, the feeling, and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth. That is an anchor for your soul, that you have access to peace 24/7 if you just seek God while he may be found. And I'll tell you the bad news. You'll never, ever, ever have peace apart from knowing Jesus Christ and following after him. Never. You'll be at war. The war will never end. It'll never end in your mind. It'll never end in your spirit. You'll be at war with the Almighty. It's a terrible place to be. I pray that's not you today. God wants you to have peace, peace that passes understanding. Father, I thank you. I thank you for those watching online, Lord. Perhaps it was for some of them today. Father, I pray that your church that's here, those that know you, that they were built up, instructed in righteousness, challenged, Lord. And Father, we know that you are the Prince of Peace. What a beautiful truth that is. To not have peace is a terrible place to be, God. I pray that anybody who does not, you would grant them peace today, that they would seek you while you may be found. Thank you for the work of art that you're doing here at Spencerport Bible Church through these individual masterpieces. And I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Thank you.